Hello and welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Good to be here.
Yeah, so it is Saturday, February 21st, 2026, and I was just thinking this morning, if you've stepped outside today, maybe grabbed a coffee or just, walked down the street, you've probably noticed something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The air just feels, well, different. And I don't mean the weather, I mean the digital air. We aren't just swimming in Wi-Fi signals anymore. We are sort of wading through this layer of intelligence that is almost indistinguishable from the physical world.
It's a pretty heavy Saturday morning thought, but you're right. And we're looking at a report today that really digs into this. It's from Tech Insight called The Silicon Metamorphosis. And honestly, I couldn't put it down.
Same here.
It argues that we have officially crossed a threshold. Like we've moved from the era of pure software, stuff trapped behind a glass screen, to the age of embodied AI.
Embodied AI. I mean, it sounds like the title of a sci-fi thriller,
It really does.
but the report makes this incredibly compelling case that this is just, well, our Tuesday reality now. The core thesis that really stuck with me is that technology is shifting from being a tool we hold in our hand, like a hammer or a smartphone, to something that effectively constitutes half our brain and our
Yes.
biological senses.
That is the critical distinction right there. Because for the last 20 years, if you wanted to access the internet, you had to stop what you were doing. You had to pull a glowing rectangle out of your pocket, unlock it, and just stare at it.
You had to leave the physical world to enter the digital one.
Exactly. But embodied AI means the internet now has eyes and ears and a body. It lives in the physical world with you.
And it has executive power, which is the part that really made me sit up.
Oh, yeah.
We aren't just talking about smart speakers that play music when you ask nicely. We're talking about systems that can see, interpret, and, as we'll get to later, spend your money
Yeah.
without you pressing a single button.
Right. The mission for this deep dive is really to look at the consequences of all this. We're breaking down the four pillars of this metamorphosis that the report describes.
So we've got the sensory overhaul from Apple,
The surveillance grid from Meta.
the brain-like chips making it all possible.
And those financial agents that are completely rewriting the economy.
So let's unpack this. I feel like we have to start with a device that has basically been an extra limb for us since 2007.
The iPhone.
The iPhone. Tekin Knight is actually calling time of death on the smartphone era in this report.
They are. They say the iPhone has hit its innovative ceiling.
Which is a bold claim.
It's a controversial take, sure, but look at the physics of it. A smartphone is fundamentally reactive. It sits in your pocket in the dark until you decide to retrieve it. It doesn't know what you're looking at. It doesn't know what you're hearing. It's blind and deaf until you actively turn it on.
And in a world driven by generative AI, the report says that friction is a deal breaker.
Exactly. Because Gen AI needs context. It needs to know that I'm looking at a broken faucet to tell me how to fix it.
If I have to physically type how to fix a leaky Moen bathroom faucet into a search bar, the magic is totally gone.
Precisely. And that brings us to Apple's Project Atlas,
The big shift.
the massive shift from typing and touching to seeing and hearing. Apple has rolled out this new trinity of devices.
The smart glasses, the AI pendants, and the new camera-equipped AirPods.
Right.
I have to pause on those AirPods for a second. When I first saw the headlines about camera-equipped AirPods, I actually laughed.
A lot of people did.
I thought, great, now I can take high-definition photos of the inside of my ear canal.
Yeah, but that's really not what this is.
Not at
It's
all.
a brilliant piece of engineering. These aren't cameras for photography. They are low-resolution infrared or IR cameras. They aren't trying to capture a pretty sunset. They are constantly scanning your field of view.
So they're actively mapping the space around me.
Yes, they are creating a real-time depth map of your environment. Think about the audio processing Apple did a few years back with spatial audio.
Oh, where it makes the music feel like it's coming from a very specific direction in the room.
Exactly. Now they're doing that exact same thing, but for physical space. The new H3 chip processes all this data to understand dimensions, obstacles, movement,
So it allows the AI to understand where you are and what you're facing.
without you ever needing to wear the smart glasses if you don't want to. It's the bridge to a voice user interface, a VUI.
So let me get this straight. If I'm walking through a museum, the AirPods know I'm standing directly in front of a Van Gogh
Right.
because of the spatial data and the location tracking,
Yeah.
and the AI can just start talking to me about the brushstrokes.
That's the idea. And that is exactly where the AI pendant comes into play. The report calls it a neural hub.
A neural hub.
The pendant isn't just a piece of tech jewelry. It's the central brain that filters all this incoming noise. It detects context. The report says we are rapidly moving toward ambient intelligence.
Ambient intelligence. I really like that term.
Yeah.
It implies the tech is just there, like electricity in the walls.
Exactly. It predicts your needs. If the AirPods see you rushing toward a train platform and the pendant knows your daily schedule, it might just whisper in your ear, track 4 is delayed, go to track 2.
Before you even think to pull out your phone to check.
Exactly. It's the ultimate butler. Invisible, all-knowing, and helpful.
But, and here is where the report takes a really sharp turn.
Yeah, it does.
If Apple is playing the role of the helpful, invisible butler, Meta Mark Zuckerberg's empire is taking a very different approach.
The report frames Meta's role more like a private investigator.
It's a really stark contrast in philosophy. Apple's ecosystem is looking inward to assist you personally, but Meta's smart glasses are looking outward to analyze the world around you.
Specifically other people.
Right. The report highlights the rollout of real-time facial recognition.
And to be clear, this isn't the old tag your friends in a photo feature from Facebook.
No.
This is live, in the wild, identifying strangers on the street.
The report details that the technology relies on something called biometric embeddings. Could you break that down for us? What exactly is a biometric embedding?
Sure. So a computer doesn't see a face the way you and I do.
Right.
It converts facial features, like the exact distance between the eyes, the shape of the nose, the angle of the jawline, into a highly complex numerical string, a mathematical vector.
Okay.
That vector is the embedding. And the report points out that Meta has the largest database of these embeddings in human history.
Thanks to 20 years of us uploading Instagram and Facebook photos.
Exactly.
That scale is just massive. So when I look at someone while wearing these Meta glasses, the system is actively comparing their face to that multi-billion photo database.
In milliseconds.
Wow.
And the report states it operates with 99% accuracy.
Yeah.
Even with partial facial obstruction.
That's the part that really caught my eye.
You could be wearing sunglasses and a heavy winter scarf. And the system can still match your visible biometric markers to your digital profile.
The report notes that this effectively kills public anonymity. It brings up this concept of a digital panopticon.
Yes. A panopticon being the old prison design, right? Where the single guard in the center can see everyone, but the prisoners never know exactly when they are being watched.
Exactly. The report suggests that in this new scenario, every single citizen wearing Meta glasses becomes a walking surveillance node.
You don't know who is recording you.
Or who is pulling up your LinkedIn profile, or maybe even your credit score just by glancing at your face at a coffee shop.
The source material actually uses the term biometric stalking as a major risk factor here.
It outlines some massive legal and social implications. And from a regulatory standpoint, the report says it's a complete nightmare.
It notes that regulators are basically paralyzed right now. The technology has just moved way faster than any legal framework could adapt.
Because it raises all these questions. Is your face public property?
Can you legally opt out of a stranger's smart glasses?
Right. And the report says there is just no clear answer yet. It really is the Wild West, just with very high-tech specs.
Exactly.
So let's pivot to the hardware that actually makes all of this possible. Because running real-time facial recognition and spatial depth mapping simultaneously, that requires some serious number crunching.
Huge computing power.
Usually that kind of processing would melt a wearable battery in about 10 minutes.
It would. And this is where the silicon part of the silicon metamorphosis really comes into play. The report details a revolution in chip architecture designed to solve what's known as the von Neumann bottleneck.
The von Neumann architecture, that's the standard computer layout, right?
Right. You have your memory over here, your processor over there, and a data bus connecting them.
And the report explains that this bus is the actual bottleneck. Every single time the processor needs data, it has to fetch it from memory, do the math, and send the result back.
It's like a bucket brigade. And that constant shuffling consumes a massive amount of energy.
And it generates a lot of heat.
It's the entire reason massive data centers need industrial cooling towers.
So obviously, for a wearable device, that traditional architecture is a non-starter. You can't strap a cooling tower to your face.
Which brings us to the neuromorphic chip.
This was fascinating.
The report explains that these chips utilize spiking neural networks, or SNNs. They are quite literally designed to mimic the biological structure of the human brain.
And the key difference, according to the source, is that they are event-driven.
Yes.
The report used a really great analogy to explain this efficiency.
The security guard analogy. It's the perfect way to visualize it. Imagine a security guard watching a bank of surveillance monitors. A traditional computer chip is like a guard who yells, "Nothing is happening," every single second, 24 hours a day.
Right.
He is constantly working, constantly checking, constantly burning energy, even when the scene on the monitor is completely static.
Which is incredibly inefficient.
Extremely. But a neuromorphic chip is like a guard who just sits in total silence. He consumes almost zero energy. He only spikes or reacts when something actually changes on the screen.
Like an insect flying across the camera view or a person walking by.
Exactly. So if you're wearing these smart glasses and you're just staring at a blank white wall, the report notes the chip is basically asleep.
The power consumption drops to negligible microwatts.
But if a baseball comes flying at your face, the chip wakes up and reacts on a nanosecond scale.
And the report points out that this specific efficiency is what allows modern drones to fly for hours, or these new smart glasses to last all day without needing a battery pack the size of a brick.
It completely changes the hardware game.
Okay, so we have the eyes with Apple and Meta. We have the brain with these neuromorphic chips. Now we need to talk about the hands.
Or really the wallet.
Yes, because the agentic economy section of this report, I mean, it completely blew my mind.
This is the shift that the report suggests will disrupt daily life the most. We are moving from AI as an advisor, like an AI telling you, hey, you should probably buy this stock.
Right.
To AI as an agent where it says, I already bought this stock for you.
The report highlights a major collaboration between DBS, Bank of Singapore, and Visa. They're building the actual rails for this agentic economy.
They are.
But the report raises a good question. How does the AI actually know what it's doing? I can't just hand a chatbot my credit card number and hope for the best.
No, and that's why the underlying financial infrastructure is changing. The report details the shift to the ISO 2022 protocol.
ISO 2022. I keep seeing this term pop up in fintech news. Why does the report say it's the magic bullet for AI agents?
Because traditional payment systems are, frankly, dumb.
How so?
A standard credit card swipe just carries a date, a total amount, and a merchant ID. That's it. But ISO 2022 carries incredibly rich metadata. It can carry the full contract details, the itemized list of every single thing you're buying, the specific tax implications. Everything is baked into the transaction data.
So the AI can actually read and understand the context of the purchase.
Exactly. So in this agentic economy, the report explains you give your AI a financial signature along with a strict budget.
A financial signature.
Yes. You might say to your agent, you have a $500 monthly budget for my groceries. The agent then constantly watches the grocery markets, looks for digital coupons, monitors supply chains, and executes the purchase only when the price is optimal.
It manages the digital shopping cart and finalizing the transaction with its own verified credentials.
Without you ever being involved in the checkout process.
The report makes it sound incredibly convenient, but it also presents the obvious risks. What if the agent misinterprets the prompt? What if it thinks groceries means buying 50 pounds of premium Wagyu beef because it was on sale?
That is the exact fear the report addresses. And that's why even massive conservative institutions like Goldman Sachs are getting heavily involved in shaping this.
Right.
They are pivoting to this model using what the report calls orchestration agents, specifically by partnering with Anthropic.
Why Anthropic? The report specifically mentions their Claude 3.5 models. What's the advantage there?
It's because of their constitutional AI architecture.
Yeah.
Banks are inherently risk averse. They absolutely cannot afford an AI that hallucinates data or gets creative with federal regulations.
That makes sense.
Constitutional AI is built from the ground up to follow a strict, unbendable set of rules, a constitution that minimizes those compliance risks.
And the report describes their internal setup as an army of agents. It sounded exactly like a corporate hierarchy, but built entirely out of software.
That's precisely what it is. You no longer have one single AI trying to do everything. You have a complex orchestration layer.
Okay.
One agent is tasked strictly with writing the code for a new financial trade.
Right.
A second agent, acting as an independent security auditor, reviews that first agent's code.
And then a third agent checks the whole thing against current banking compliance laws.
Exactly. They are constantly supervising and correcting each other.
And the results in the report are staggering. Goldman reported a 400% increase in development speed using this method.
It's a paradigm shift.
The report points out that we're seeing the rise of a totally new job title, the AI orchestration architect?
Humans aren't manually writing the financial code anymore. They're commanding the digital army that writes the code.
It's a total restructuring of white-collar work as we know it.
Truly.
Now, before we wrap up the analysis, I want to touch on the gaming section of the report.
Ah, yes.
It felt like a bit of a detour at first glance, but the report argues it actually ties everything together. It details this benchmark war happening right now between AMD and NVIDIA.
It absolutely ties in. If we are truly moving toward embodied AI and spatial computing, the visual fidelity of those digital worlds matters immensely.
Right.
The report highlights AMD's tactical move here, calling it a content-first strategy.
To fight NVIDIA's massive monopoly.
Exactly.
They're bundling the game Crimson Desert with their new Ryzen CPUs and Radeon GPUs.
Right. The report notes they're using the RDNA 3.5 and Zen 5 architectures. But instead of just showing journalists boring slides full of teraflop numbers and charts,
they're saying, just look at this world.
Yes. They're utilizing real-time global illumination and their FSR 3.1 upscaling tech to create a visual experience that the report calls breathtaking and indistinguishable from reality.
It's that same recurring theme the report keeps hitting: experience over specs.
Exactly.
Just like Apple isn't selling you a camera, they're selling memory capture. AMD isn't just selling a microchip, they're selling access to a flawless world.
And the report makes a crucial point here, that flawless digital world is the actual training ground for all the AI we've been discussing.
Right.
The simulation has to be perfect for the AI to learn how to properly navigate the real physical world. Crimson Desert isn't just a video game. It's a benchmark for the metaverse architecture we are all about to step into.
So let's bring this all home and synthesize what Tak and Knight is telling us. We've covered a massive amount of ground from this report.
We really have.
We have Apple turning our physical bodies into active sensors.
We have Meta turning our faces into searchable data.
We have neuromorphic chips making all of this incredibly energy efficient by mimicking the brain.
And we have financial agents spending our money in the background using verified credentials.
When you look at it all together, the report's title makes perfect sense. The Silicon Metamorphosis is essentially complete.
Information is biological. Identity is data. Robots use brain structure. Money is algorithmic.
The report frames it as a daunting reality. We're effectively outsourcing what it means to be human. We're outsourcing our eyes, our memories, and our daily economic decisions.
We're optimizing life, certainly. That's the benefit. But the report warns we're also creating a permanent layer of abstraction between us and raw reality.
Which leaves us with the final question the source material posed, and I think it is the most important takeaway for you listening today.
The big question.
Are you ready to let an algorithm spend your money? And are you willing to let a pair of glasses reveal the identity of everyone around you?
It really is the question of the decade.
And it got me thinking, beyond the report, actually, if we have AI agents out there spending our money and they are interacting with other AI agents representing stores or banks.
A machine-to-machine economy.
Exactly. What happens when the vast majority of the global economy is just algorithms trading with other algorithms at the speed of light, completely outside of human oversight?
We just become bystanders to our own economy.
And the scary part is, we might not get to answer that question with a democratic vote. We might just answer it simply by buying the next pair of headphones.
That's usually how the future arrives.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the metamorphosis. Keep your eyes open and maybe check who is watching back. We'll see you next time.